Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And also the pastor of New Vision for Life Church, one of the greatest little churches you could be a part of, I'm telling you, because at New Vision, the love is real. It is real. It is real. So again, I want to say good morning to you. Welcome here to New Vision, and yep, right, to New Vision. Now, to those of you who aren't going anywhere else, you're welcome at New Vision. But this part of New Vision is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I want to say good morning to my beautiful, long-lasting confidant, friend, daughter in the Lord, minister of all ministers, prayer warrior of all prayer warriors, someone I can depend on. If you think of any adjectives that you can think of when you're talking about someone that you totally adore, someone that you admire, someone that you are thankful that God placed in your life, you think of those adjectives and put those adjectives before the name of Minister Tamika Garnes, and that's who my co-host is. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. Thank you so much. I just want to say everything that you just said, I'm going to say ditto. So everything you just said about me, I'm going to say ditto to you. Thank you, woman of God. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. You know, it's a blessing when you can say that about someone in your life, you know, and really mean it. It is a blessing, you know. And there will be people that are in your lives, you know, for a time span, you know, and then it's time to let them go, or they will go on their own. There'll be people that will be in your lives forever and a day. Even their roles in your life may change, you know, but whatever the case may be, I'm praying this is one of those till death do us part relationships, because
Amen. It's
been a blessing having you walk with me. It has been a blessing. Praise be unto God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, good morning also to our longstanding show participants that have been with us, you know. A lot of the names that we mentioned have been with us. There's only one or two names that we mentioned have been with us from the very beginning of time. The others have come on several years later, but have been here for years. You know, and look, let me tell you something. I really, really do want to honor all of you that have been coming to this line at 9 o'clock in the morning for years. And hear me when I say this. Because of the fact that we do this show at 9 o'clock in the morning, we definitely have to be here at 9 o'clock. But I put myself in your shoes, and I wondered, would I wake up, dial a number, even if I don't get out of bed, and dial a number on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock every morning for years? And I know there are mornings at Tamika and I don't want to wake up and dial the number to call in, and we do the show. We leave the show. And I'm like, would I do that just to listen to someone's show? And I don't take it for granted, beloved, what y'all do. I don't take it for granted. I truly do honor y'all. I bless you. I wish the very best for you because you do this. Now, just now, as I was saying this, Holy Spirit reminded me when I was on a prayer line, and I think we did that prayer line probably before I stopped. We did that prayer line. It was either 10 or 12 years we did that prayer line. And it was 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week. That's right, including Sundays, 7 days a week. And do you know yours truly woke up and called into that prayer line and either listened or prayed, whichever one I had to do because we had different assignments and so forth. And I did that for the either 10 or 12 years. I can't remember exactly which one. So I did that. And I said, so it can be done. And obviously you proved that you can do it at 9 o'clock in the morning. So again, good morning to you. But truly know that I honor all of you. I honor you. I honor you. I honor Tabika. And I do not take your calling and we do not take it for granted.
Amen.
By no means. By no means. Was there something that you wanted to say, baby?
I was just saying amen. We don't. We bless mm-hmm. you. Thank you so much for your support. Like, it's truly appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So with that being said, good morning to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, beloved. Love you always, forever and a day. Add a day onto forever, and that's how long my love will last for you. To Lester and Joyce Richardson, you know you have my heart. You know that you have my heart. God bless you, beloved. To Prophetess Kim, to, lost my whole train of thought here, but to Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, to Deacon Banks, Deacon Farr, Isaiah in Chicago, Robin, Pennsylvania, Denise, in Pennsylvania. Praise be unto God. I said Prophetess Kim already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to look at the list and see whoever. But anyway, to all of you regular callers, to all of you that are diehards and you're on here every single week, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. To God be all the glory. I want to say good morning to each and every one of you. And remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. So whatever your plans are, whatever might come your way, whatever it may be, remember, this is the day that he has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice. And be glad in it. With that being said, we're going to turn this over into the hands of Minister Tabika Garnes as she leads us in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, before I go into prayer, I want to say thank you all for your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a journey with this healing process, but I do know that. I do know that you guys were praying, and I truly, truly appreciate it. I'm starting to feel like myself again, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited because this ordeal is almost over, and I just thank God for being with me because I know that he was fighting on my behalf. I know that he was with me every step. I know he was with me when I cried. You know, mm-hmm. I know he was with me when I told him that I didn't want to do this anymore. And he had to keep pushing me. He had to keep pushing me because I did want to give up, guys. I'm being transparent because it was really hard, like really hard and very traumatic. And so, I'm glad that I did not give up. I'm glad that he did not let me give up because there's so much more that he has in store for me. And so it wasn't my time to give up. And so, again, I just thank all of you that were praying. Thank you, Apostle, for your support and encouragement. And I know that, yes, I know that we don't suffer in vain. So I do know that I may not understand why I went through what I went through, but I do know that God will use that for his good and mine. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't understand, but guess what? God is with me, and I just give it to him, and maybe one day he will show me, he will let me know, and if not, I'm still okay with that because I'm still here, you know, on this earth to share this part of my testimony. So to God be all the glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, O God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Father God. We give you praise, O God. We thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We love you, Father God, for there is none like you. Lord, we just thank you for everything that you are doing in this season, O God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love, your joy. We thank you, Lord God, for all things. We thank you, Lord God, for your healing and your deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for there is none like you. We thank you, Father God, that you are opening doors, you're closing doors, you're with us, you're guiding us, you're blessing us. Father, we just want to say thank you. I know sometimes we're so distracted and pulled in so many places, and God, and the relationship that suffers the most is our relationship with you. And so, Father, right now, we repent in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, forgiveness of our sins, those done in thought, word, or deed, Lord God. Lord, give us a repentant heart in the name of Jesus, God. Cause, Lord God, if our hearts have grown cold, God, cause our hearts to warm and beat again for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, many things that we encounter or go through, we don't understand. But, God, we know that you are with us, and we know, Father God, that we don't suffer in vain. We know, Father God, that when we cry, you see us, you hear us, you come see about us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just say thank you, Lord God. In the times where we feel like we're alone in a situation or something that we're going through, all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. And the peace that comes from just saying your name will comfort us and get us through the things that we are going through. So, Father, we just say thank you. Father, we love you. Father, we adore you. Father, we need you in the name of Jesus, oh God. And though we try to do things on our own, God, we need you. We need you and we want you. Hallelujah, Lord God. We don't want a form of godliness, Lord God. We want you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So, Lord, I just pray that you help us to keep our eyes on you and not people and not things of the world, oh God, but help us to keep our eyes on you so that we won't miss what it is that you've given us to do, the assignments, the things that you told us to say. God, we also pray for an obedient heart as well, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hold on one moment. Thank you, beloved. Just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Elder. How are you?
Beloved, I am blessed. I am blessed. Good morning to you both. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
I must apologize. I jumped in to say something, and I didn't realize I had just joined, didn't realize that my wife hadn't yet prayed, so I do apologize.
It's okay.
Something I wanted to share, you know, I tell you all the time how blessed I am that it's just a place filled with prayer. They're having a women's conference at my job, and I've been, you know, women's retreat, and I've been helping set up and everything. And a few of the ladies, I put my wife's name on the prayer request, and so many people have approached me and just said, how's your wife doing? How's your wife doing? It was almost as if they knew her. But as I was speaking to someone, obviously, and I wanted to share with her and to those that may be going through, you know, when we are in the midst of a storm, we're expecting that God would show us the storm and show us what we're dealing with. But if he was to show us the storm, we sometimes will look for an exit before he can get the glory for bringing us out. That's why we don't always see what. So sometimes we have to just say, I'm leaning on you. I'm trusting you. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm facing this, but I know that it's going to work out. And suffering is a part of our call. Christ suffered, and the word says we are counted as what? As sheep for the slaughter. So we are accounted for suffering. But in our suffering is our blessing and our deliverance. But God gets the glory out of that suffering, out of that deliverance, and out of that blessing. But if we see the storm, sometimes we would be in such a panic that if we saw the reality of how big our situation is or what's going on, we would look for the quick exit, and God wouldn't get the glory for bringing us out of the true mission that he has set for us, because what we're going through isn't always for us. Sometimes it's for somebody else. The testimony that you may have, not today or tomorrow, but could be 50 years later. It could be the testament from the pulpit, or it could be the testament in the grocery store. Wherever that testimony is shared, it's going to be someone else's life. But if you exit your storm before the testimony, there is no money for that test. There is no payout. There is no blessing for that test. That's just the revelation I want and say God bless you. And to my wife, babe, you are a soldier. I'm so proud of you.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. I tell you, and you get to know, you get to know somebody's heart towards you, especially when you are suffering, when you're going through, and you know, this person shows you who they really are during that time. And I know it's been tough on you, Elder Mark. And it's been very tough on your wife for her to go through what she's going through, but you too have proven to be a good soldier, you too. So I thank God for you both. I thank God for you both walking in the covenant that you made with one another. I thank God for that. And that God has received the glory for what he is doing in her body and in your lives, in your marriage, in your ministry. God is receiving the glory for it, and that's what's important. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you for taking care of her. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Well, beloved, thank you, thank you, thank you. Tabika, there was numerous things that you said that we may have to change what we talked about as far as what to talk about on Freedom Sunday. And the lesson that I did here at the building on Friday was, why do we suffer? And then as I was listening to you saying, I don't understand this and I don't understand, but whatever, there is something that you did understand, and that was still to give God praise and glory. And so why we suffer, that might be the topic that we talk about tomorrow. Not quite sure yet whether it's going to be that or continue in the marriage vein, but we'll figure it out. We really got to ask Holy Spirit where to take us on this, okay? Amen. Amen. All righty, all righty. Well, beloved, 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 today I want to take you back down. And then when I say I, that's a we. We want to take you back down memory lane, back down to when you and your beloved one first met. That's right. Take that trip. Go back. Some of us, the first time we met our marriage partners, we didn't like them, you know. So you might have to go past when you first met them. But then there's those of you that, you know, you met your partner and you fell in love instantly. You had that love at first sight type of thing. There, those of you that met your partner, you know, y'all said, hey, we can be friends and nothing more. But before you know it, the tables turned on that and you really became, you know, covenant partners with one another. And so as you think about that time, I want you to think about how important it was to you that you and your mate spend time together. How important was that to you? You know, did it matter to you that, you know, that you, if you didn't spend time together, did it matter you did spend time together? What did you do to see to it that you spent time together? And what did you do with the time that you spent together? Is there anyone that want to give us just a glimpse inside of their relationship when they first met or shortly after they first met? And we're dealing with spending time together. That's what we're dealing with today, spending time together. Would someone like to share with us what it meant to them to spend time with their beau, with whom they were dating, their friend, whatever the case may be? And remember, you press 1 on your keypad, and that'll let us know that you wish to speak, and we will bring you on board so that we can hear what you have to say, because this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Amen. So is there anyone, Tamika, we can start with you, honey, you and Mark. How was it when you first met?
So for our relationship, Mark was already, like, he was connected to my family through his niece and my cousin. So his niece and my cousin are best friends. And so he already had a connection to the family, but I didn't know him per se. And because he does, you know, like home improvement and stuff, at one point when my sister and I lived together, he came and put down a floor for her. And that's how we kind of connected in a sense. And then when I say kind of connected, it was because he saw me and instantly, you know, he liked what he saw. But I wasn't paying him any attention because I was already in a relationship that was negative, but it was like I was preoccupied with that. So, like, I wasn't paying him any attention. So it was like one day he had a cookout. We weren't invited, but we kind of like crashed his cookout because it was him and his homeboys who crashed the cookout. And from that point, he was talking. And as he was talking, he caught my attention. And the first thing, this is crazy, kind of, but the first thing I thought was like, wow, he would be like good for my son. Like, he would be like a good role model, like, kind of, for my son. And so, you know, the things that he was saying, I could tell that he was a very intelligent young man. He wasn't the ones that I'm normally dealing with. He was very, very intelligent. So I was like, okay, you know, I might can, you know, give him some attention. And so from that point, we exchanged numbers, we went on a date, and it was just sealed from there. It was almost like, you know, like you meet somebody for the first time and they say it was love at first sight, or, you know, that's how it was, because it was like we were never apart. It was just like a connection, and it just blossomed from there. And yes, we spent time together, you know, even with my son, letting Mark get to meet Chris. And, you know, Chris was a difficult child to deal with, but I was like, oh goodness, my son gonna run him away, you know, all these type of thoughts that were going through my head, like, Lord, please don't let my son run him away. Because he tried, my son tried, but after he failed, he had to basically, like, just give, he had to give in. So I, you know, it was almost like something that you weren't looking for. It just, like, fell in your lap. And it's the best thing. And when I think about it, I just know that it was ordained from, you know, by God. At that moment, I wasn't, you know, thinking about all that because that's not where my focus was. But as time progressed, I could see how God was in it. You know, I could see how he made things happen. And so I'm, you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. Like, I am I'm so grateful for that. Yes, thank you, Father.
Amen, 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 amen. To God be the glory, to God be the glory. Is there anyone else who, when you look back at the beginning of your relationship, when you look back at it, does anyone like to share how you got started and just briefly touching in on the time that you spent together? Tabika said from their first date on, basically, you know, they were together. They were tied at the hip, weren't separated from one another. Amen. All righty. Let me get my beloved here just a second. Good morning, beloved. How are you today, sweetheart?
I am well. I am well.
To God be the glory. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So I have told my testimony before about meeting my husband through our children. We're going together. And when I met my husband, I saw him as this light-skinned little teeny man that I didn't want anything to do with. All I could see was he was light-skinned, and of course I'm brown-skinned, and I come from back in the Coolie High days with all of the stereotypes that went around that. And so I jumped on my son for introducing me to this little teeny man. And I tell you what, God is a real sense of humor, because he just took that and he started calling himself Mellow Yellow and all kinds of crazy stuff. He gave no place to what I thought, because I had to tell him on the first week that we met each other, I had to tell him I had issues with people who were light-skinned because of my life road and what I've gone through. But I just want you to know that after 30-some years, that is my best friend, my confidant, my expediter. He is a strong tower. I tell you what, they used to say about the women, little piece of leather well put together. Well, that is a strong tower of man that I have. He is an awesome man of God. When we do things together, we're like the dream team. And still, after all of these years, when I come around the corner and I'm turning into the yard, I'm looking to see what he's conquered outside and what I can praise him about, because, again, his thing is acts of service, and I see what services he's done for me. And so it's just a bond, and I see that oneness that God has made us into one, being able to do things together and read each other and understand each other and praise each other and lift each other up. And so I am just so grateful and so thankful and always ready to re-enlist for one more year. It's always
Amen. Well, let me ask you something, and this could be for Tabika and, of course, for everyone else that's on the air this morning. After you got married, okay, first of all, spending time together with each other prior to marriage, that is normally something that comes, it comes easier than not. It's something that is expected, you know, because you're still winning each other, wooing each other, and so forth. So you spend as much time as you can together prior to getting married. Did that change after you got married? When you look at the busyness of life, yes, it's for you, Joyce. When you look at the busyness of life, all the different things that come into play, family, you know, jobs, ministry, whatever the case may be, did the time you spend together, did it increase? Did it decrease? Did it stay the same? Tell me about the difference between the time together prior to marriage and the time you spend together now or after marriage.
Well, in the beginning, of course, we had that, I forget what you call that little romance part of it, where you Google eyes and you want to spend every minute, you want to talk on the phone every second and this, that, and the other. But my man is a man of, it's like he parts like the Red Sea. He's going to do everything he's supposed to do, and then he's going to do the extra. So while he was a manager at a job where he was called upon at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to make decisions and whatever, and had to go on all kinds of trips and stuff where they had fiber breakages and all kinds of stuff, he just kept going. And once he finished that, I don't care when that was, then he had time for me. And then I had all, I was a special needs person. So he had to do all of the special needs that I had. And that's how he is even now. I mean, he does everything that he's supposed to do, everything that's on his list. And then if I have a honeydew's list, he's going to try to do that. And then if the pastor calls and has something for him to do, it just seems like he just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as God gives him the grace to do all the things that he needs to do. That's my story.
Okay. All righty. All righty. Tabika?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, things changed when we got married. Because life is like, okay, so now it's two people coming together, and then it's a child involved. And so, and then you had work and fam, like, and so trying to, and at that point that we didn't have ministry at that point. And so trying to juggle many different things at one time sometimes can cause, the time that we wanted to spend together. Sometimes it just didn't happen. And even up until now, you know, we spend time together here in the house. Sometimes we have like our date nights. We don't have any little kids in the house, so we don't have to, you know, worry about taking somebody to football practice or anything like that. So we spend time, and now that his schedule has changed at work, that has kind of hindered the amount of time that we get to spend with one another. But we don't let that get in our way, because we still find time to do things together. It has to be intentional. You have to intentionally make time for one another. You know, we can't get down because his schedule has changed and now he's out of the house later than he normally was. We can't get stuck there. So we have to find ways to spend time with one another. And even if it's just like going for a ride, going to the store together, little things like that is what makes me happy. Even in this situation of him taking care of me, like he had to take care of me and still go to work. And it was times where I'm like, I kind of like felt bad, because it's like I know that he's tired, and it was like it was nothing that I could do. And he would be like, babe, I'm okay. You know, I just want you to get better. And so just seeing his love for me to the point where it was like it didn't matter if he didn't get any rest as long as he knew I was good. And so I just, that in itself, I thank God for. He never gave me attitude, you know, because he was tired. He never snapped at me because, you know, he was tired. He just kept going and going and going and taking care of me. And I know that it hurt him, to see me in this situation. I know that it hurt him. I can tell that it hurt him. I saw him cry at different times. And I just thank God for the type of man that he has blessed me with. And so I just pray many of blessings over him, you know, for how he took care of me. And so even in that taking care of me, it was still time, we spent together.
Amen. Well, both of you in your sharing, first of all, thank you so much for sharing. But the word that came out that is so important is the intentionality, to make time, to spend time with one another as a married couple. Definitely, you know, we heard where ministry could get in the way, jobs can get in the way, your children can get in the way. You know, everything pushes itself prior to you and your mate. But we have to learn how to make our mates a priority. And that doesn't mean in making our mates a priority, that doesn't mean we take care of everything we have to take care for our mates first all the time and then do everything else. Because there's a time when your job is going to call you and your mate wants you to do something, you've got to go take care of what's at the job. If you're in management or no matter what you're in, if your job is calling you to do something and your wife wants you to have dinner with her, depending on what that job is, if it's not the type of job where you're in any type of control and you can push it off, you got to go handle your job. But then you got to be intentional about coming back and spending time with your mate, making your mate feel important, and them knowing that no matter how tired, how busy I am, I want you to know that you are important to me. The job, the children, the ministry, your physical health, all kinds of things, these are the little foxes that spoil the vine. These are the foxes that get into the relationship and stop us from spending time with each other. And the time apart from each other weakens the glue that holds you together. If you find that you can spend time doing everything else but spend time with each other, please understand that you are under an attack. You are under an attack. Somebody, something, somewhere does not want you to spend the time together. Even when we look at things spiritually and when the word says that when it comes to our prayer time, how one person praying and interceding could chase 1,000 demons away, how one person praying. But when two people come together and pray, tens of thousands of demons are expelled or chastened away and so forth. And that's when two come together. And the two truly do make a difference. When instead of one, even in, I believe it's in Proverbs, when it speaks about the fact if one person is out in the cold alone, you know, you're out there, you're by yourself, you're shivering and you're freezing cold and so forth, and you're lying there on the ground and you're not getting much body heat because you are alone. But if two of you are together, the two of you putting your bodies together will bring heat to one another and help you to survive. The two are better than the one. And so that is vitally important. And again, it's doing it intentionally, doing it intentionally. You must know that there is a time under heaven for every single thing. There is a time for it. And so ask God to help you to see how you can take the time and connect with each other in meaningful ways. You must. It was Joyce that was speaking, saying that her husband's language is acts of service. And so he sees to it that he's constantly doing things. She says, when I pull up in the yard, I'm looking around to see what did he do? What did he change? What is it? Because his love language is acts of service. And this is his way of saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And a lot of women that have men that do the act of service don't understand that they're saying, I love you, with their act of service. They don't understand that, but that is what they're doing. And so she looks for those things. Therefore, then she can go back and compliment him, encourage him, and stroke him where he needs to be stroked for doing the job that he did, showing the gratitude, showing the appreciation. If you've got a man that's doing these things and you never say thank you, you never say I appreciate you, what makes that man want to spend any time with you? Vice versa, man, if you've got a woman that's doing the acts of service and so forth, you know, and you never say thank you, you know, what makes her want to spend time with you? So it's important that we are spending time together after we get married, you have to plan different types of time. It's not the same type of time that you do all the time. There needs to be a time when you spend just time talking to one another. There needs to be the time that you take to conflict resolution, a time when it's fun time only, that's dates and cuddling and walking. And in that time, you don't do any conflict talking. Time when you turn off the cell phones and turn off your TV, and you know, talk about what's going on and so forth. There's different types of time that you can carve out during the day. And let me, dealing with the conflict resolution time, let me say this about that time. I have been, as I'm dealing with my couples that I deal with, I have been, oh, wait one second before I go and say what I have been. Let me let this caller speak, please. Good morning, beloved darling. How are you? 7730.
Good morning, beloved. I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm good. I just wanted to share a different perspective. When it is, it can sometimes be a little different when your spouse is not operating from acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, my love language is acts of service. My husband's love language is physical touch. And
mm-hmm.
so to a man who is operating from acts of service, it's, to me, in my mind, it could sometimes be a lot easier to get the quality time in versus your spouse having a different love language. Like, because on my end, I would be the one, you know, doing the different things or being intentional about certain things. But when as a mom, now you got to worry about the kids as well. And you're kind of like putting out a lot of fires at one time. So the intentionality on my end might be a little, not that it can't be achieved, it might be a little more challenging on my end because I'm juggling a lot more balls than it would be if it were on my husband's end. But I do agree wholeheartedly that it's all about intentionality. I know I had said to my
mm-hmm.
I had said to my husband, and I said to someone else, like, if we were both intentional on both ends, if I, as a wife, when I woke up, my every thought was, how can I be intentional with my husband today? How can I make his day go smoother, go better, and he do the same to me, oh my God, what kind of day would we really have? You know, it would just be an awesome day. But when you are a mom operating, when you're a mom who walks with the gift of acts of service, and you are also a mom who is still mothering, I find it to be a little more challenging, because everybody has their needs at the same time, versus if it was just my husband who was operating from acts of service and he was just meeting my needs. It would be kind of a lot easier for me to kind of like zone in and meet him where he is. Am I sounding, am I confusing you? And what's the point that I'm trying to make?
No, not me. Tamika, do you understand what she's saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just find, I think basically what I'm trying to say is that I think it just flows a lot easier when it comes, like, because these two particular women have both husbands who are operating from acts of service. So when you're dealing with a husband who's operating from acts of service, I just find it easier when it's coming from the male end versus the female end, when you are not just the wife, you know, you're the wife and the mother. Or in your wife and the mother, and you're working, just trying to blend it all in together. It could be a little bumpy, but as you said, you know, when the time, when there is time, make sure you then, you know, make sure that your spouse is taken care of and you're being intentional with the time.
Right.
Apostle.
And that's, yes, yes. Go ahead, honey.
I wanted to say to the person who's calling, my hat's off to her, because what happens is when you have a mother that's got children and a spouse, job, and all this, that, and the other, she becomes like an octopus. Everybody wants one of her tentacles at the same time, you know, and she's jiggling and juggling and doing the very best she can. And I tell you, God made us so fit and adaptable that we usually do a pretty banged-up job at all of them. But it is a different struggle. And in my scenario, I didn't have little children, and we need to make sure we get that out there, because it's, I didn't have that. I had children, but not little children. And so we had to be stretched. We had to be octopuses, too. And it's like, but God made us fit and adaptable, and we're such creative geniuses. You know, God put some special gifts in us women that just gave us that fit and adaptable capability. But I truly acknowledge that when you have children and they're doing all of these different things, and then if they don't want this for dinner, and, you know, you got all of these things that you're juggling, my hat's off to every woman. God just made us geniuses, just absolutely geniuses. So I applaud her for any and every effort that she made in trying to do that.
Amen, amen. See there, Sabrina, we understand. We understand. But, yes, it is very difficult when you're wearing all of those hats and you still only have 24 hours a day to do everything you need to do for everybody. Yes, it is different. It is different. That, again, brings us right back to that word, intentional. Because trust me, if we don't intentionally make time for one another, our marriages would end up destroyed. They would end up destroyed, because the time that we don't spend with our mates, they will find somebody else to spend that time with, or will sink into such a depression. Not that they would spend the time with someone else, but they definitely won't spend it with you, won't spend it with the children. They are in this cocoon, just wrapped up into self and slowly dying almost, you know, because they don't have what they need from their mate. They don't have what they need from their mate. So it is important. It is very important, even in the midst of all of this, how do you intentionally spend the time. And Sabrina, for you, you had to go through two different phases, because the years between your children's age, you know, you got to the point where your boys were old enough that a lot of things you had to do for them, they were able to do for themselves, take care of themselves, and so forth and so on, so that freed up some of your time. And then you went and had a baby. Tell us about the years difference between them and what that did to your life.
Sometimes it has you wanting to jump off the roof. I mean, this is true transparency. Because mothering the first time around, I was in my 20s. You know, you have energy for everything. And you can do some things with your hands tied behind your back. But years later, mothering, I mean, I just celebrated my 50th birthday, and I have a 3-year-old, so you can do the math. So mothering at the age that I am now, with the energy level that I have now, it's worlds apart. It's worlds apart. So trying to squeeze it all in, I mean, I have to get creative, and it's not sometimes in the presentation that you may want it. Like, for instance, I took my husband out on a dinner date, you know, but it had to include the 3-year-old, you know, but it was still about being intentional. But I could, because I am from the era that I'm from, most of my friends and acquaintances are my age. So their children are pretty much grown. So I'm not really in a position to always have a babysitter on deck. You know, so it's about utilizing the time that I do have to utilize. And sometimes it may have to include her. And so you have to have a spouse that's understanding of that. You know, they may not necessarily want the baby there, but you're doing the best that you can do at that particular time. But even in situations like that, you know, when the baby goes, well, not baby, when the child goes down for bed, you're depleted. You know, you have nothing else left to give. In that moment, you can be intentional about your time, but I don't know how you're supposed to consume the energy to disperse it. So that's challenge that I'm working with right now in my life. And it's not just dealing with my husband. My mate, of course, he comes first, but it's dealing with everything when it comes to ministry, you know, when it comes to work, when it comes to friendships and, you know, getting together with your girlfriends. Like, when it comes to everything, it's just about, I guess it's all about the balancing act and being intentional with your time. And sometimes that causes you to have to, like, put a mute on certain things. You know, I love my friends, but they can't be priority right now, you know, because I have to put my energy over here in other areas. So it's worlds apart, mothering in your 20s versus mothering in your late 40s, early 50s. Worlds apart.
Absolutely. 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 Yep. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now, when we look at being intentional and taking the pockets of time, and you, again, when Tabika mentioned that her and Mark, the work schedule changed. You, to Sabrina, you've had a time with your husband's work schedule, and that change in work schedule can make a big difference in how you spend time together, even in just trying to squeeze in time to get a cup of coffee in together. You know, those few minutes a day that you could spend together, just the two of you getting that cup of coffee when the baby is sleeping. You both of you, well, you are at work now when the baby is napping, and he may be home napping because of his work schedule. But finding things, you know, even just to have a cup of coffee together, take a moment and just sit on the porch together, you know, doing something as simple as that, it can be beneficial because it still speaks a lot. But, yes, mm-hmm. I do get it. I do understand, like you said, that once you've done what you've had to do, I don't have the energy to do anything. I don't have all of that. I don't have a husband. I don't have children at home that I got to take care of. My whole life is consumed with ministry. And I know there are times when, you know, somebody may want me to do something and I am too exhausted to go and do anything. I'm just too tired. And there are times I have to intentionally make the effort of cleaning up, get dressed, and going to see somebody or going out to eat with somebody, whatever the case may be. And after I get out, I'm excited, I enjoy it, and so forth and so on. But it took a great big effort, you know, to do that because I was worn out. I was tired,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So I do take my hats off to all of you men and women that are doing jobs, home, ministry, you know, children, all of that stuff. My hat is off to all of you. And today, yes, beloved.
I'm sorry. I just quickly wanted to say that because Mark works on Saturdays now, like going from not working on a Saturday for years, you know, to now working on a Saturday, it's like that was a big blow, and it's like, okay, so if he only has Sundays and Mondays off, and basically Monday I'm at work, so the only time that we really, really have to spend together is a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so like today he was like, when I get off, do you want to go for a ride? So it's like little things like that.
Yeah.
It's only for a ride to the store, but even in that, it's still spending time together. And you know, I know
mm-hmm.
he's tired. I know he's tired, but it's still making time, you know, to spend together. And even if I don't feel like it, it's like I have to push myself to kind of like do it because, again,
yes,
you know,
yes.
that's the only real time that we get to have quality time together anymore. And like I said, I can't
mm-hmm.
get stuck on the fact that his schedule changed because it's nothing I can do about it at the moment, but just, you know, we have to learn how to adjust. That's it. We have to learn how to adjust to certain things, and especially the things that we can't change. You know, when I say adjust to certain things, don't adjust to things that'll bring you harm, but I'm just saying certain things we just have to learn how to adjust to.
Amen. 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 All righty.
Apostle?
Yes, beloved.
Well, you both are going to help me adjust. How do I? Okay, so my husband works graveyard shift, so he works through the night. I work during the day. So we don't have time for the coffee in the morning. So we have enough time to high five, and he takes our daughter to work. I mean, to daycare, and I'm off to work. And when I come home, I spend time with everyone at the same time. So and then when it comes time to put the daughter down for bed, by the time he's finished, we're both doing the crackhead, not in the chair. So where do we figure this out?
I would say, I think sometimes we kind of overthink things because I'm guilty of that. So when I overthink things, I'll just basically like don't do it because to me, it's like if it's not enough time in it, it doesn't make sense to do. So like when you put her down to sleep, I would say before y'all get to gnawing, like, you know, like you just said, before y'all get to gnaw it, it could take like 30 minutes for y'all maybe to just have a conversation or pray together, or you can't run out to the store because she sleeps. So it's almost like getting creative in the house. And it doesn't have to be like a hours long thing. It could be 30 minutes. It could be 45 minutes, something before you all just drift off to sleep. And so it's and you're creative. So you know how to do little creative things. And so I would say don't think too over the top about how you spend the time. I would just say just spend the time. Do that make sense?
Okay, let me throw something in there with what she said. Okay, you said, you know, because of your schedule and so forth, and after y'all put the baby down, you're both doing the crackhead nod because y'all are both exhausted at that point in time. When y'all are doing the nodding out, are you nodding out in separate rooms? Are you together? Are you in the bed? Are you one in front of the TV and the other in front of the computer? Describe to me the nodding out period.
I'm down on the first floor, prepping for the next day. He's upstairs with our daughter settling her down. And so we're in two different locations.
Okay, you're prepping. He's settling the daughter down. After he settles her down and you get through prepping, what's the next step after that?
Well, by the time he's finished settling her down, he's nodding.
He's
so,
nodding.
And then by the time I get done with that, what I'm doing, I found that I have nodded. And so, so when I make my way upstairs, he's in the bed. He's asleep,
okay.
And that's all I want to do at that moment is to go to sleep. Now we have opportunities on his days off to do things differently, but it's just you're waiting for that particular day to come, and
okay.
I'm finding that. Especially by him, because he's more effective than I am based on his love language, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a lot more effective than I am. And so I find that only waiting for his days off, because I have the same days off every week. His is different every other week. Waiting for the days off only is not beneficial. But
right.
I don't know how
right.
to help to work any more time in.
Okay. All righty. When he gets through settling the baby, and even though you are preparing for the night, for the next day, can y'all start with when he's finished, because he's got someone else involved in his nightly procedure, he's putting the baby down. When he finishes putting her down, can y'all possibly just start with taking 5 minutes with each other? Start with that. You stop preparing for the next day. Take those 5 minutes and just spend with him. He's affectionate. The touching is what's important to you. The act of service for you is what's important to you. But can you take 5 minutes? Just, babe, I just wanted to take some time out. I know you're getting ready to go to sleep, but I just want to hug you. I just want to be near you. I missed you today. Just want to be near you. Just let me give you a hug, rub his bald head, and so forth. And that helps to put him into, yes, he's taking his nap. He's going to rest, you know, but he's going to rest now with a smile on his face instead of just dwelling in how exhausted he is. And it has taken 5 minutes away from your preparation for the day. But you will receive some joy in the fact that you've given him some act of pleasure. you know, just for him to be able to hold you or you hold him and sharing. And that's for him at that point in time. That's for him. So you're doing that for him. And the next night or the next 2 nights, however the case may be, as soon as he puts the baby down and gets her settled, he comes to you during the time while you are prepping, and you will have to stop your prepping again and give him the opportunity to hug you, to hold you, and tell you how much he appreciates you. So those little bitty things, that little bit of time that you are consciously, intentionally giving each other, believe it or not, it feeds into your spirit. It feeds into your mindset. It feeds into you physically. It changes. I want to use the word, and I'm not sure this is the right word, but the chemicals that go off in our brain, the chemicals that go off that gives us joy and so forth and so on, it does that. It does that even though y'all are exhausted. So the overthinking part, when we talk about intentionally spending time, we thinking we have to spend an hour, we got to spend 2 hours, we've got to go do something that's absolutely fantastic or whatever the case may be. But right now, just take those couple of minutes just to say to each other, I love you. I love you. I want you to know that. I know we're both tired. We're exhausted. We don't have the time to do this, that, and the other. But just give me a minute just to hold you. I just want to be near you. I need to be held. I don't want to just hug you because you need it, because you love physical touch, but I need to be held. And I know a lot of women, you know, don't feel like they need to be held as much because that sign of affection is not their sign language, their love language, but yet it does something that the endopamine or whatever that chemical is that goes off in us, it does something to you. So do you think that's something, does it sound reasonable to try that just those few minutes before you both start nodding?
One thing that I did not mention is by the time he's done with our daughter, it's time for him to go off for work. So it would literally be only a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
mm-hmm.
out of time.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds reasonable, but I he, you know, I don't mind sharing, Apostle. It sounds very reasonable, but I my husband's going to have more of an expectation for me. Put it like that. He's going to have more. I can't just give him a hug or embrace him and he's just going to be kumbaya with it. He's going to want
uh-huh.
more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's going to want more. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, in your process, you give him what you can, and at one of those days, he will have acquired enough kudos from you because you didn't take it any further. You were able to give him what you could in those few minutes. That one of those nights when you meet up with him to give him just a hug, you will be mentally and physically prepared to give him more than that. Even though you're tired every day, you know, that will be a sacrifice that you'll have to make. And that's one of those things when we discuss, you know, dying to ourselves, you know, you would have to die to your tiredness and so forth, and give him what he needs. Give him what he needs, and not just wait for his day off because that may be too far away for him. So once in a while, you're going to have to step outside of your box and give him what he needs. Sorry, baby girl. And I'm not sorry, but you know what I mean. Yes. And he, just the same way you have to step out of your box and give him what he needs, he's going to have to step out of his box and say, when you don't do it, I know that she's given me all she can give me right now, even if he wants more. It's coming to a place of preferring one another. And I thank Holy Spirit for dropping that in my spirit right now. It goes back to the commandment of preferring one another. It goes back to the thing of us, you know, not taking, remember, all of the things that we want to do will come under the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And yes, my flesh is craving for you. That's what he's saying. My flesh is craving for you. And you're saying, but honey, I can't do that right now. I can't. Even if I wanted to, I cannot do this right now. And instead of him getting mad, he ought to appreciate, bring him to the point. And that takes a lot of training and talking to and mentoring. Bring him to the point of him saying, sweetheart, I understand. I'm grateful that you were able to take the time just to give me a hug. You know I want more, but thank you for even doing that much for me. As I needed your touch. I needed to feel you next to me. And so thank you for that. And I believe, I do believe that somewhere in there, some of that will change slowly but surely, that it will change. And see, and all of that also, Sabrina, takes time, and as we're growing spiritually, as we're growing spiritually and truly understanding one another, truly coming to a place of understanding one another. Wow. Well, baby, you know, I wish you the best, and we can talk. We can definitely talk again. And just the way you're sharing with us, I would love to share this with your mate. I would really love to share this with him to help him to understand, you know, the importance of accepting what each other can give, accepting that and being grateful for that. And then I believe that God will end up giving us the true desires of our heart. I do believe that. If we go out of our way to meet the needs that the person has, then that person then will feel a sense of gratitude, a sense of gratitude, and then they would respond accordingly. They would reciprocate, if that's the proper word, and want to do for you because you have done for them. So I do wish you all the best. I do wish you the best. Well, beloved, look, we have run out of time. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Tabika. Thank you for y'all adding to our conversations here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, where we get to the heart of the matter. Both of you have me very, all of you have me very up in the air about what to share on Sunday. Do we do more of our couple talk on Sunday morning on our Freedom Sunday, or do we do, why do we suffer? But I'm going to be before the Lord and ask him, you know, which one of those topics shouldn't be our topic of conversation. But one of those will be the topic of conversation on Sunday morning at New Vision for Life. Yes, yes. All righty, beloved, y'all take care. Have an awesome day. Again, thank you to all of you that contributed to the show. Know that I love you with all my heart, but no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. God bless. See you, Tamika. God bless you.
See you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.